All right, if you'd open your Bibles, we're going into 1 John. We're in chapter 2, and we left off in the 9th verse. So that's the first epistle of John, chapter 2, and verse 9. Now, as we pick it up here, we're going to be brought right to the thought of the light. And praise the Lord for the light. I'm so grateful to God that His children, we do not need to walk in darkness. We don't. He's light. He's light for everything. In Him there is no confusion. In Him there is no chaos. Praise God, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. He gives it abundantly, liberally. He abradeth not. We know that He is for us. And I think of all the things that we face in our daily lives and how God so encouraged my heart so many months back. Absolutely, I ask Him, and I ask Him for wisdom. I ask Him for discernment. But I'm realizing to rely on, Lord, Thou knowest. Peter finally rested when he finally realized, Lord, Thou knowest. You know. It's Your love. It's Your doing. And God, I'm going to rest in that because You told me that You would be everything to me. You told me that You would supply all my needs. You told me that Your grace is sufficient. Those are promises. And praise God how we've been rejoicing in love. We've been rejoicing in promises. And that's the promises that we're loved. And praise be to God, what a great love wherewith we are loved. But as we get into this thought of light here this evening, it really struck me that it seems like we've been talking about light all the way through already in this study of, and I don't know how many weeks we've been here. I've been teasing about that. We've been going a verse at a time a week, and we might get through before the Lord comes. But that word light is only mentioned 5 times. And by the grace of God, we're going to mention it again in verse 10. And then you won't find the word light anymore in any of the epistles or through the rest of this epistle of John. So this is special. It's so magnificent. It just radiates throughout all of the Scripture, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But before we even launch into this verse 9, let's again address what is the light. Well, in John chapter 8, verse 12, and you can write these down and we'll kind of move through these. But John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 12:46 says, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And I think of how the Lord is so precious to us that even if we're otherwise minded, He'll even make that known to us. When we desire to know, and we have studied this, and by the grace of God, the Word of God implies this very greatly to us, He who wills to know will know. That light shineth forth. You can't stop it. If you want that light, it is there for your life. And we think of, well, why is this light so important? Well, we know that it's Jesus Christ. We know that that's a very important thing to us. But this light, this truth, this grace, this embodiment of all the love of God, which is Christ the light. In Colossians 1:12, it tells us that our inheritance is all due to the light. And the verse goes like this, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." See, that light is so important, brothers and sisters. We must be in that light to truly have the inheritance that He optimally wants for our life, which is joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. He wants us to rule and to reign jointly with Him. That's the offering that's to this age, to this day, to you people here, to me. And it even gets better than that because in Ephesians 5:13, listen to this one. It says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Think about that. Whatsoever make manifest is light. My goodness, Christ manifest in us. I think it's a message. I think it's a pattern, brothers and sisters. I think it's all the way through the Word of God. And so fittingly, Christ in me is the hope of glory. That light shining in me, that light within us, the light shining forth is the proof of the coming manifestation of the sons of God. We're not in the dark about this. The light shines forth. And the light radiates forth in those that are ready. Let me tell you something. This 1 John has the high calling message in Christ Jesus written all over it. All through it. And brothers and sisters, I just pray each time that the Lord has us together and calls me to come and give forth His Word. There's no way I could adequately even address it. Even attempt to scratch the surface. But by the Spirit. And that's what I'm relying on tonight. So we rejoice in His Word. We rejoice in this. But I pray, God, anoint your heart with the depth of this meaning. And finally, it ties right back into the very height of it all when we talk about this light. And I do want you to turn to this text, which is in Revelation chapter 21. And it's amazing how many times we've gone back here to Revelation chapter 21. And we'll begin reading from the 9th verse. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, it's her light. Praise God. It's hers. Do you realize that that Shulamite said, I am His and He is mine, and my desire is towards me and His desire is towards me? They're one. And praise God, she's got the light. And she shines forth that light. And that light is so evident in her life. It's the only light that she could ever have is the one that He gave her. And obviously this is the light. It's His glory in her. It's His glory in her to be just that. We've heard of the light of the world is Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. The light of her world is Jesus. Is the light of your world Jesus? We're going to talk about that tonight. Is that what sets it all off? Is truly that what we wake up to, what we're meditating about throughout the day? I know we're doing things, and we're doing it heartily as unto the Lord by the grace of God. But even when I put my head on that pillow tonight, was it, thank you, Jesus? And sometimes it's, thank you, Jesus, for getting me through this one. But it's, thank you, Jesus. I've got a pillow. Thank you, Jesus. I've got a cover. But most importantly, thank you, Jesus, you love me. And thank you, Jesus, I love you. I thank Him that I love Him. I'm thankful that He gave me the love to love Him. He had to do it. We are not capable of that. All right, let's go on back to chapter 2 and let's get into verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now this is the Christian, brothers and sisters, that is caught up in hatred toward a brother. So even though we can know the light, and even though the light of Jesus Christ is in us, we can yet still be in darkness if we hate. Absolutely. The darkness is the place of no fellowship with God. If you're a Christian tonight, and there's a hatred going on in your life, that fellowship is not there. There's a darkness that needs to have the light shown in that. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that the messages that the Lord has given us here over the years, the Word of God that's been brought forth, we understand that we must love. We must realize, brothers and sisters, that we are never separated from the love of God. Make sure you know that. Many a Christian will try to turn this, that think that maybe you could lose your salvation. This isn't what this is getting at. This is talking about the divine fellowship with the Father and the Son. And when we're in hatred toward a brother or sister in Christ, that fellowship has been severed. We are not dwelling in the courts of the Lord, brothers and sisters, at that time. It needs to be repaired. We must realize again that nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we sure as well can be separated from fellowship with God. And as it says here, it's always our choice. We have a choice. You have a choice every day. You have a choice in every moment of the day. We have a choice to either love God, to love this truth, to say, Lord, by your grace, work it in my life. Or we can go about with our headstrong way and try to, again, kick against the pricks, just like Brother Paul did. We're not going to believe you for it, God. This is a principle thing, Lord. I know I'm right. I know that brother has to tell me they're sorry, or there's no way that I'm ever going to forgive them. I truly believe, brothers and sisters, when we haven't forgiven, we're playing with hate. We are. And I'll even go a little bit further. When we haven't let the Lord take it completely out, it's still playing with you. To forgive and to forget. It's a difficult thing. It's something that's apart from a human. This old world wants to bring back things. My goodness, I'd never want to run for office. They'd go back and see what I did when I was 3 and 4 months old. Could you imagine? He spit on himself and, oh, I forgot to tell you, he was only, 4 or 5 months old at that time, but we won't tell you that. But see, that's the thing. That's what man does. We want to just dig it up. We want to throw it back in your face. I don't care who you are. And each side does it. You know why? Because it's just right there in human nature. But see, Jesus has taught us that's not the way to be. Jesus has taught us to abound in hope. I abound in hope. I was abounding in hope today. I was just so thankful of what God could do. I was hoping for people that had hurt me greatly. I was hoping for people today, by the grace of God, that there was no way that I could love. But there was such a love I couldn't even imagine. I knew it was there because He had told me it was there. But to be in the midst of that love, I couldn't help but go up to people and hug them and tell them I loved them. And I meant it. It wasn't a show. It was just the absolute love of God. And the love of God truly makes you love everybody. It's amazing. Little crazy farmer knew a lot of stuff. Praise God for my dear pastor. Oh, hallelujah. But see, I meet Christians, brothers and sisters, and you do too, every day that lack this fellowship with God. We have a personal invitation to dwell in the courts of the Lord. Do you know that? It's right there. We have a personal invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace and to fellowship with the Father and the Son and to have that type of fellowship. And we can dwell there, not just come in once in a while and back and all that. I mean, absolutely dwell there. But just like Brother David, the man after God's own heart, think about this, the man after God's own heart, even after he sinned and he knew that there was forgiveness that with Bathsheba, he was going to hold out in his pride and his selfishness. I don't know really what was going on there, but there wasn't a repentant heart. And he messed around for a whole year almost before he said, you know what? I'm going to go enter the courts of the Lord. I don't want to be away that long, do you? I don't. God help me in my hardness of heart. God help me in my hardness of head or whatever it is. I told you, I grew up. A lot of strong men in my life. God help me get rid of principle. I want to stand on the Word of God. And there's a great stand in that. It doesn't compromise. But let me tell you something. It's absolutely clear when you're standing on your principle in hatred and resentment and bitterness as opposed to standing in the love of God. And know it, brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important. You have the message to win His best. And without the love of God, and I'm talking about the love of God perfected in our life, matured in our life, that it is the most important thing, we are not going to win Him. We will come short of that mark. We will come short of the prize we'll come short of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, let's get going. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So see, if we really want fellowship with God and fellowship with His truth, we must love. And we must love without hypocrisy. And that's the love that loves everyone. That's the love that loves always, because that is the love of God. And this word abiding in light, this word abiding means to dwell continually. There's no breaking here. This isn't, well, I feel about like doing it today and I don't feel like it tomorrow. No, you never felt like it. You never allowed the Lord to work that in you. By the grace of God, there's a settling, there's an abiding, there's a rest. There's a peace, there's an attraction to it. God has to bring us into that. Lord, I want that. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to hate. I don't want to be in unbelief. When Christ saved me, I became new. You did too. Because I died. Nevertheless, I live. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the only life I can live by the grace of God, is the life of faith. And that faith is love. And that faith believes in His love. And praise God, it's a choosing, brothers and sisters, to stay and to be kept by Him. And what a victory it says in this verse that there is. Think about it. It says there is none occasion of stumbling. Zip. And I'm so grateful to God that word stumbling, it means error or sin. Now, I've mentioned that to people before. And they say, you mean if you love your brother, you're never going to sin? Nope. But it sure does mean that I know the love of God covered a multitude of sin. And I know the love of God and His grace, hallelujah, that can convict a tender heart and bring me out of sin. And I know when sin tries to reign upon my life and there's things that want to defeat me from going on with God, I know that the love never lets me go. And it's the love that loves at all time, because it's a love that's flowing out of this life by the grace of God that continually loves a brother and sister. Maybe someone that's done me harm. Maybe there's someone that's done me ill. Maybe that's someone that's harmed somebody else. And that's almost sometimes the most difficult thing to watch. When I say, oh, you rascal. But for the grace of God, there go I. And ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn to go in backwards with a blanket and cover it up. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To be there with my brother or sister in Christ that might have been in that sin, and to encourage them, hey, look, it affects me, I'm the body, but it wasn't about me. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. I so appreciate about ones that have that mature love. See, people in this life, they want to see you blubber and cry and ask for forgiveness. Now, we do need to have a repentant heart. We do need to be sorry. And I'm sorry if I ever offended anybody, and I mean that. But before thee and thee only have I sinned. And you know what? God's going to take care of that for my life. And He will, and He'll take care of it for your life. But that's the love of God. It's not in an arrogance. It's not in a prideful way. It's just the Word of God. And great faith, if you're not a Christian, and if you're a babe in Christ, great faith will come across as arrogance to you every time. Know it. I know my Lord. I know He's for me. I know God favors me. I remember saying that to a guy not too long ago. And I know what he was thinking, because he knew that I had had a very terrible infection that could have killed me. Kind of smiled. And I said, He still favors me. And I can't tell you how much He did favor me by giving me that. So praise the Lord. That's Him. So it says here that there's none occasion. It doesn't happen. There's no error. There's no sin. And the reason is because we've just stepped into the complete and perfect in all the will of God life. That's Colossians 4:12. To stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Love, brothers and sisters. Love is what covers it all. It's not your goodness. It's not your might. It's not all the great things that you've done. It's not all the things that you've given away. Praise God if you have a tender heart to do those things. I believe God will use each and every one of us mightily. And there's some evidence in that. Absolutely, I appreciate that. But it's the grace of God. And it's the love of God, this grace, that nothing can defeat it. Nothing can stand in the way of the love of God. Nothing can overcome the love of God or overwhelm the love of God. Love is the power, think of this, the very power that brought very God, a very God from the right hand of God and brought him here to live a lowly man, to die, to become sin for us who knew no sin. And then the power of the resurrection, which was the very love of God, brought him home. Hallelujah. And it's going to be the same love that's going to take me home. That's the love of God. What power. It's when I look at my sons and I know sometimes, you know, you see people that are so alive in the Lord. And you see power in that life. And you want it. And you think, well, you've got something. Just like that guy wanted to buy the Holy Spirit and all these things. You got Jesus? You've got it. You've got the key. You have the Holy Spirit. You've got the very power of His might. It just needs to be unleashed. And that's going to be through faith and love and growing and knowledge of the grace of God and how much He loves you. Oh, I love to rejoice in the things of God. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Oh my, what hate does in the life of a Christian. Some time spent here, and throughout the Word of God it talks about it in other places. And I guess the thing I ask you, is it really worth so much to hate somebody? To depart from fellowship with God? Now, I mean that. Doesn't mean that He doesn't love you, but I am talking about the divine fellowship. The divine fellowship with God that He wants us to have. Is it worth it to be departed from the divine truth? And His divine truth is the agape love. It is. Is it worth it to depart from the joy and the peace and the rest, a life of spiritual overflow? God help us, we don't know what we're doing. And God help us, I cringe to think where we might be headed. Brothers and sisters, when we hate, and we hate brethren, it can't be hidden. I don't believe it. The light reveals it all. You know it. When we're hating someone, we just try to bury it. But see, God loves you, and He'll keep bringing it out. And He'll keep bringing it out until you give it up. Until you give it up. And that resentment and that hatred, let me tell you something. That's why Brother David said, "Search me, Lord. Know it. Get in here. I know you're in here. But you're going to have to reveal this to me." I've heard people say, "Oh, well, you know, we kind of grew up that way. And he kind of feels that way about this group of people. And this group of people feels it about that group." Let me tell you something. That's the devil. That's the absolute devil, and that will rob you from God's best. Know it. Know it. I don't care what side of the track somebody's from. I don't care what part of the world or the country or whatever it is. Jesus came to die for the sin of the world. Everyone. And He did it. And He did finish it. Isn't that amazing? It was, when He said it was finished, it really hit me again the other day. Is that, Lord, You finished sin completely. And I mean, I knew that he did, but I mean, completely for everybody. It's there for them. They still have to believe. Or they're dead in their trespasses and sin. But I just thought of that love. How mighty. How amazing. And he's given that freely to us. And you have the love that can love everybody. And that's the requirement. That's the requirement of the bride, is to love as he loves. Oh God, you're going to be challenged, and I am too. If we really want it, and we're going to listen to this and believe it and say amen, you are going to, tell you what, that rubber's going to hit the road. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're in an election time. I got an Obama sticker on my car. Well, I've got McCain. Can I like you? Come on now. Really put those things aside. And I hope we can laugh at it. Do you really believe by the grace of God he's going to put up whom he will? Do you know that? Do you know that he does all things well? You might have ideas. You might have thoughts. What might be nice? What might be good? How about, Lord, thou knowest? And then you back away from all this kind of stuff. And I'm just using this as an example. There's so many others we have every single day. But don't be captivated by that kind of stuff. That's just the enemy's tool to get us caught up into something so that we miss what it's all about. And there's lots of good. Well, look, at this could happen and that could happen. I know what's going to happen. And it's right here. I get excited about this. Praise God, I'm so thankful. I can't wait till I have a body like his own glorious body to rejoice and tell him how much I'm so excited about him. But see, we depart in bitterness or hatred or resentment. What this is saying, brothers and sisters, is we have no leading. Are you listening to the word of God here? You're not being led of him because you've left the fellowship with God. The darkness has blinded your eyes. I was thinking, I'm so grateful for the word of God and a verse that my mom has quoted to me so many times, and same with my dear wife. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When you acknowledge him, you'll love. When you acknowledge him, you're acknowledging the love of God. Lord, you love me. I know you care for me. You'll direct these paths of my life. But when we hate, we have stepped out of acknowledging him. And he's no longer in the driver's seat of our life. No matter how much truth you know. No matter how much truth you know. When you don't love, it doesn't matter. It's not going to work effectually. It has to be truth in love, brothers and sisters. It must be that way. That's the word of God. I was thinking, you know, my son's learning to drive. It sure makes my wife nervous. It sure makes me grow in faith. And I was thinking how, and he's not here so I can say it, but a couple times, when I hadn't paid attention when I was driving, have you ever been down the wrong way on a one-way? Nobody's coming along here. But let me tell you something. You start hating, you're going to be on the wrong way on a one-way. And there's a speeding train coming down. Hate will rob you. Hate robs you. It does. It takes it all away. It eats you. It'll ruin you. I've seen it. Let's rejoice in what the Word of God says. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God. Did you hear that? It wasn't just forgiving one another. Forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For Christ's sake. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, disagreement, thought, whatever it may be, against another or any, even as Christ forgave, as Christ did, so also do ye. Ye ought to wash one another's feet. Ye ought to lay down your life for the brethren. Some deep things. This is beyond what would Jesus do. If I have to stop and think of that one, I've got a mess of trouble. I'm thankful that people say that. Don't get me wrong. But you got Christ in you. And if He's the hope of glory by the grace of God, He will cause you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You can't help it when you love Him. That's what the grace of God, it takes over your life. It makes you better. It makes you like Him. You can't help it. I tell you, this really puts it into perspective that we're without excuse, brothers and sisters. We must, by grace, love to win His best. All right, verses 12 through 14. It says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now this is some precious stuff here. The message of unconditional love is for everybody. Everybody. Every rank. He's bringing out ranks here. It's evident. We got the little children, we got the fathers, we've got the young men, we've got it all. Praise God. And what He's saying here is we all need it, and we all need to continue to grow in it, to rejoice in it, to mature in it, and to learn of it. And how do we know this? Well, first it says here, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Now think about that. That's the basic of basics. When even the little teeny ones in here give their hearts to the Lord, your sin is forgiven. Jesus loves you. He died for you and your sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? All of them, all taken away. And this is it, the very basic message that's received by the youngest spiritually in the body. But it says to love. We're without excuse. It doesn't matter. He's telling us to love, the emphasis upon that love and how that love is what does grow us up. That's the reason that we want to come and hear the Word of God more, is because we love Him. We don't come to church because of duty. We don't come to church because of necessity. We come here willingly because He loves us. I want to come into church with the right heart attitude. And the right heart attitude isn't for you to see that I came to church, or, you know, I put my name up here and boom, I'm here. No, I'm here because I love the truth. I love the Word of God. I love the body of Christ. I get encouraged when I come to church. I know this; these are the words of life. I know they build me up and give me an inheritance. It's the word of His grace. That's what it is. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful to God. And then next, we'll move along here. So, well, I just mentioned, so you'll see great love in babes in Christ. You will. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to mention anything, but you know what I'm talking about. I know people that know the truth, that know the bridal message. I'm still looking for love. Come on, give me some, you know? Is it there? I know all this is up here, but is it working effectually down here? And that's the difference. But I'm telling you, I've known some people, couldn't tell you hardly anything about this word. They're saved. And I'll tell you what, they love. And I know they love me. And they're kind and they're tender-hearted. This is the love that He's talking about here. And then He goes on to jump to the fathers, the least to the greatest of spiritual maturity. The word Father here, the same word used in referring to God. These are mature Christians, those who Christ, by the grace of God, has exalted to a specially close and intimate relationship with Him. There is a nature of nurturing here, if you want to think about that, a perfected love. The word is said twice here, from the beginning. From the beginning. Think of that relationship. I think about how it says to cleave to the wife of your youth, to love her. This is that relationship that's going on. And it's built up for years. Faithful unto death. That was the ones in Smyrna. The keepers of the faith. That was Brother Paul. Praise God. This is the one who has grasped the great love from ages past. When you really realize that He saw you in ages past. Before He ever hung a star, He knew you. And I'm telling you, that is love. This is the Word of God. This is exciting stuff, how He loves us. One that understands that the glory that we are being called into, the deepest of fellowship. And then moving along here, then it says the young men. And I love that. My goodness. Those that are strong have overcome the wicked one. And this is thrilling to see. These saints, they're the saints that have a little strength. The saints that are the overcomers by the grace of God, as it says here. And why? Because the Word of God abides in them. It's the Word of God. Praise God. You think of those Philadelphia saints. They kept the word of my patience. They love the truth. The truth is their life. They love to come and to fellowship in the Word of God. Do you know how blessed you are? Boy, I hope you know how blessed you are. I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful to God that we have some talent in this place that's unbelievable, amazing. But we magnify the grace of God. We magnify His truth. That's what we want people to see. I've had people many times, just in the short time that I've been called into the ministry. Man, don't you have any other kind of music? And I say, why would we want any other kind of music? We've got the songs in these books that preach the bride of Christ. I don't need to have some watered down milk toast, feel good, whatever it might be. I don't. When you got the best, you got the best. I'm telling you, and I don't mean to compare it to it, but, you know, if I've got the Ferrari in the driveway, I'm not going to go, you know, running across the city to go get the jalopy. That's the truth. Know what you have. That's not boasting. It's the Word of God. It's for everybody. People think they just need to put a different spin on it, make it more exciting. No, you just need to, by the grace of God, ask the Lord to open your heart up, and you'll get excited about the love and the Word of God. You will, and you know it. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night, I don't think, if you weren't excited about that. But praise God. And know this, brothers and sisters, that and Brother Hill was such a testimony of that to me, especially right before the Lord took him home and a few different things that he told to me. This is so critical, growing up, maturing, the fully developed sons of God, we know that. But never stop learning. And never stop learning of and about the love of God. If we're drawing breath, there's more love. There's more expanding to happen here. And you're going to come to times that we're despairing of our life, that we're tired, that, Lord, I don't have any more fight in me. And I'm finding out that, you know, when I don't have that, it's because I need more love. I need more love. Love will find the way. Love makes the way, paves the way, does everything. It is the way. And that's the thing about Christ that we need to understand. So, as we go on, we understand that we cannot have fellowship with Jesus Christ without the divine agape love. We're also going to find out right now that we can't have this divine fellowship when our affections are set on the things of this world. Did you hear me? Oh, you had the love part down? Now, there's another qualification. We cannot have our affections set on the things of this world as opposed to the things above. And let's go ahead and read verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I guess before we hit this, I do love life. I love the life that Christ has given me. I believe this world in some respects, in the godly ways, I know it has. It's become the most beautiful place to me. I mean, in so many ways, His handiwork, what I'm talking about. Like, we were out there at that service today. And I don't know how many of you have been out to Fort Logan. I just was out there in the middle of that cemetery. And there wasn't a ripple on the lake. And the birds were flying. And the trees were just so magnificent. The colors were changing. And there was a good smell. And it was just awesome. And I was thinking about the Lord. And all I could do was just stand out there. And I kind of forgot I was supposed to give a message. Till the guy behind me says, "You only got a half hour." You know? I teased him. I said, "I need a day and a half." No, I'm just teasing. But I was standing out there, and just to think of the beauty that God has. And it gets more precious to me to think that my Father made that. And it's so gorgeous. And, you know, one of the brothers was coming in the door and said, "Oh, did you see the fireball in the sky?" He cares for us. He shows us every day. He shows us in nature how good this is. But praise the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. He's all in. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave us everything. That's the love that's got to grip our hearts. And that's the love that will get us to look up and not to be looking at the things of this world. So as we see, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And brothers and sisters, this magnifies that the love that is being spoken of here is the first love, love. It's the first love, love. And it is. He wants that from our lives. Remember those saints at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. You think about how it said all those good things about them. "But I have one thing against thee. You've left your first love." And I can stand here before you. And you can stand here before me. And we know truly in our hearts if the Lord really is our first love. We do. It is. It's not something we struggle with. It's not something we're going to wrestle with. I'm not trying to say, "Well, you know, this is first in my life." I've heard many people say this. "Well, you know, this has got to be before this. And this has got to be before that." And just put God first. Put God first. And it really will happen. It'll happen so magnificently and beautifully. You won't worry about how it happens. It just works. It just works. It's just like this body. We understand that it is an organism. This wonderful body that He gives us. It's not organization. It's an organism. I don't worry about how my body works. It just works. I don't worry about how that light, as Brother Hill used to talk about many times. I don't worry about is the light. I just go over there and I flip it on and it works. God works. And He works every time. And this is what He's trying to bring us into, is this first love. Be committed by the grace of God. Know me. Come after me. And I think about who He chose to write this. John. John was the same one that wrote about those guys in Revelation, didn't he? See, because John knew the love of God. He did. He was the disciple that was so dear to the Lord. He said, "I love you, John. This is the one I love." He loved them all, but there was a special love there. John knew this. John was used to write so much of the Word of God. It's so precious. The Holy Spirit was working and alive in this brother. Now, I also want to make sure to mention, this doesn't mean that we're not supposed to appreciate and to receive the things that God wants to give us. I have seen Christians, and I've been there, where I wanted to push away from some of the things that God wanted to give me in my life. "Oh God, I can't have that. That wouldn't look good," or this or that. And I mean it. I mean that. Most of the time, we're saying, "You know, Lord, I don't want you to take it away. I got to have this." No, you don't. But see, we can just be on the same other side of that, not trusting God, when we don't allow Him to give us the things that He wants. I don't want my self-righteousness to ever get in the way of that. Yeah. And it's the truth. Don't you go with this that, "Oh, He's preaching prosper and be in health." Uh-uh. But you know what? The Lord's blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And the Lord blesses His people. And He gives them increase in so many different ways. I read about my brother Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Let me tell you something. They had a lot. Joseph, into his life, he was rolling. But you know what? Those things didn't have him, did they? It was just the Lord. I appreciate that, brother. He didn't even care about his reputation. You sleep with me, nobody will ever know. And if you don't, you're going to jail. I'm going to rat on you. For me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. He didn't even have a house. He was just kind of a slave anyways. But he wanted to please the Lord. Isn't that just thrill you that we have testimony like that all about us? Whatsoever state, brothers and sisters, that's what this is talking about. They're with to be content. Let's hurry through and we'll get through 17. For all. See, he didn't leave out anything here. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. It's not some or maybe or might or whatever. You know, it is. They're just such definites with the Lord, isn't it? For all that is in the world. So it just blew your bubble. I knew you were thinking there was one or two things that God, it was okay to really love. Nope. No idols before me. None. Zip. It's all about me. He's God. He set it up that way. A lot of people don't like that. Well, he's God. What don't you get? God can do it how he wants to. And God put all of it in one place, his son Jesus. Amen. No other name. I am. And yet there's people that want to fight against that. Well, that just is too exclusive for me. No, I like to look at it this way. Man, that's easy. Thank you. Is Jesus? It's good with me. So good with me. I'm so thankful to God. It is. It's that simple. It's that simplicity. And I don't mean to make light of that or make fun of it. I'm telling you the truth. The simplicity that's in the gospel. That he just loves us. Praise God. Be thankful for that. But in verse 16, he tells it like it is. We can't fool God. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of the world. All of it. First of all, it's the lust of the flesh. That's the sinful, forbidden desires of our human nature. We all have them. We all have them. The evil that I would not. See, you didn't want me to put the not in there. The evil that I would not, that I do. That's how Paul said it, didn't he? Reckon it dead. Praise God, he's taken care of it. Now let's go to the lust of the eyes. Well, you'd say, well, isn't that kind of the same thing? And no, it's not. See, the first was just the nature that we have in this body. This goes on to cover the sinful nature that's in my mind. Yeah. These are things that I can conceive even. Oh my goodness. You mean you're completely wretched? Yep. You are, oh wretched man that I am. There's not one thought of godliness in us apart from the Lord, but apart from his grace. Do you realize what he brought us to? Thank you, Jesus. There is none righteous, no, not one. And many times we struggle with that. I know that. I remember there was a young man in my house, and there was a man that he knew that was a very good friend of his. And he was afflicted all of his life. And struggled. And here he was in his mid-20s and he was dying. But he had never accepted Christ as his Savior. And I said, did you talk to him about the Lord? Well, I tried. He just didn't want it. Kind of bitter, all these things. And I said, well, it's a shame. God could have given him a body like unto his own glorious body. It was right there for him. That's not what that brother wanted to hear. Well, I can't listen to that. You better listen to that. And you better make a stand for that. I don't know why God does these different things, except I know he's doing them in love. And he is. I don't know how he's going to get a hold of anybody's life. But it's amazing. Some people have to hear the Lord in a wheelchair. Some people have to hear the Lord in a prison. Some people have to hear the Lord a lot of different ways. And however it has to be, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus. How about you tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Am I content and so thankful for whatsoever state I'm in? I'm here tonight. I'm listening to the Word of God. Boy, I hope we've come to that. We have to know these things. But this is the sinful nature that's even in our mind. The things that are conceived and derived in our minds because of ungodly choices. Because we've chosen to go into that darkness. This is that he's talking about here. Whether it's what I'm looking at, or whether it's what I'm hearing, whether it's the environment that I am yielding to. Remember, there isn't anything, brothers and sisters, that you're not capable of, but for the grace of God. We have to know that. It's in our makeup. You've heard me say it before. Sin begat sin. The Word of God says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Why do you think they do these studies and they know that, and I'll just tell you like it is, these kids that get to smoking. If you smoke and you're a kid, you are, I forget how many more times, but it's like 20 or 30 more times likely to experiment with marijuana. And then if you experiment with marijuana, you're like 50 more times more likely to do cocaine or other drugs. Why? Because the sin begets the sin. It's just our nature. We think we can limit it. We think we can control it. Oh, I can go ahead and expose myself to this kind of stuff and I'm going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. We need to give it to Jesus. It's the grace of God that will bring us out of this. But we need to have a willing heart. Lord, allow me to want, to will, and to do of your good pleasure in my life. I want it in there. I want to dwell in this light. And then finally, brothers and sisters, it says the pride of life. You think, oh my goodness, we covered all the sin that nature itself tells us there is. But man, this has got to do capture it all here. This is the pride of life. If you thought there were some good things out there that you could do. Huh? I've given all my money to the poor. Look at how much I gave. Remember those guys striking their chest? And there was that little woman. Nobody saw her. That's the one that's got a heart for me. She gave more than they all. You see her? Who are you talking about? What about in that big crowd? All them pressing around. Oh, I got to get around him. I want to see him and all that. And there was the woman that was seeing him for her life. Who touched me? Who touched me? Praise God. This is such a wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, this gets it all. This is talking about this pride of life. This is the filthy self-righteousness. The abomination to God sin. The glorifying in our self-work sin. It's our achievements. Our own grown goodness. This is talking about every moment, brothers and sisters, that we drift away from the grace of God. Thinking that there was something that I could merit from God. And the enemy is always about us to try to say, oh, look what you did. Look at what you achieved. I'm so grateful to God. In some respects, I don't want to get down too much in a lot of ways, but say, Lord, I'm just so inadequate. Like I say, in a sense, the spirit of, Lord, I'm not the man for the job, might just win me a midst of the throne place in heaven. Because I know it's got to be Him. All right, verse 17, and I'm sorry I kept you a little bit long, but let's finish this thought up. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. And hallelujah. We quoted this earlier, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, I want everlasting joy, brothers and sisters, I do. I don't want the temporal happiness that's going to eventually destroy me. I want the everlasting joy. The everlasting joy is a life that finally gives over to the Lord and says, you know what, Lord? Thy will be done. That's what it's about. You said you would perfect that which concerns me. You did. And you know that can begin right now. That's the thing that's wonderful about Jesus. It can begin right now. Even if you've never lived that. Even if you haven't been living it for a week, a month, a year, however long this, in a sense, discouragement's been going on. It happens right now. Now. Today. This moment. That's how God does it. And He'll bring you that joy. And may that be the theme of glory in our life. That His good pleasure working in us. And you think about that good pleasure working in us, this everlasting, this abiding forever in our lives, brothers and sisters. He's preparing a group that's going to be taken into the midst of the throne. He's preparing those that are going to rule and reign jointly with Him. But they're going to be a group that are about the things of God. They're going to be a group that are tending upon the things of the Lord without distraction. Amen. A singleness, a purpose. Lord, captivate me. And you know what? That's just all benefit to us right now. It's not just in the come. It's the peace that passes understanding. And He brings that to our lives. All right, let's pray. Let's stand and we'll pray. Dear God, we thank You again for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we just ask that truly we, by grace, believe this, that it does work effectually in our lives. We thank You for Your patience, Your goodness to us, Lord. Thank You for people that love You. Help us to be excited about the things of God. Lord, let this just be such great gain to our lives. As we finish out this week, if You tarry, let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let us have hearts that want to come back even on a Friday night, if God wills, and we can tarry together and worship and come back this Sunday. And Lord, just strengthen us in You. Help us to pray one for another. Help us not to judge one another. Really, help us to be lovers. Help us to love one another. God, with the love of God, what a mighty thing that would be. Lord, You can do it. We're going to commit it to You. Make us ready. In Jesus' name, amen.